God is awesome and God is mighty. Let's thank Him for the gift of life. Let's thank Him for the gift of salvation. It's not by power, it's not by might. Let's thank Him because He has been good to us. This year is not like any other year. Father, we give You all the glory and praise. Honor to You, O God. Adoration to You, O God. In Jesus' mighty name, we have given thanks. Let's put hands together and celebrate the man of God, the woman of God. God bless you, sir. God bless you, Ma. Reverend Steve and his wife, Reverend Stan and his wife, and the entire leadership. We appreciate God for your life. Please be seated. What a mighty God we serve. It's our year of prayer. I want to say Happy New Year to you all that I'm just meeting for the first time this year. We are embarking. We've started a 40-day journey and spending 40 days fasting and praying. It's a very, very serious issue. And I believe very strongly that if you are very, very serious about your life and your journey, you shouldn't spend 40 days fasting and praying just as a religious obligation. You should do that expecting transformation in your life. And I want you to know that 40 days, if you're going to go through 40 days of fasting and prayer, you're going to be putting together a lot of spiritual currencies in the realm of the spirit. And it's very, very important for you to be able to get to the end of the year and be able to say, Lord, I thank You because it's worth it all. I've seen a lot of people do things on a religious basis, and we just go around in religious circles every year without any meaningful transformation because we do not balance all that we do and do it the way God expects it to be done. Like I said in the first service, if I'm to ask everyone to bring their prayer desires, you'll find out that all over the world, the prayer desires of people fall majorly under three broad categories. Number one, people need deliverance. They need spiritual issues sorted out in their life. So people's prayer points will be things about their deliverance, spiritual blessings, getting to know God more, coming out of one bondage or the other. Number two, people's prayer desires has to do with relationship. They want to get married. They want to have a child. They want God to bless their marriage. They want to live in marital peace and marital joy. And number three, people's prayer desire fall under finances. People will want God to give them a job, a better job, breakthrough in their businesses, debt cancellation. So you find out that people want spiritual blessings, people want relational blessings, and people want financial blessings. But all these dimensions of blessing that we seek from God will not just happen by prayer alone. We need to understand that the word supernatural means that there is a super and there is a natural. The super will remain super without the natural, and the natural will remain natural without the super. It's the combination of the super and the natural that produces the supernatural. So if we continue to do the super and we don't do the natural, there's going to be a missing link. I've come to realize that ignorance is not a demon. You can't cast out ignorance. Ignorance is not a demon. In order for people to be free from ignorance, they need knowledge. And that's why I want you to do everything you can to make sure that you don't just spend time fasting, you also pray. Spend time praying. Be in every prayer meeting. Be in every service that is put together to help you to pray. Because fasting without prayer is hunger strike. Then, apart from fasting and praying, make sure that you give attention to the Word of God. Because fasting and prayer without the Word is foolishness. Because you need the Word to be able to have direction and to be able to win in your world. So it's very important for you to spend the time of fasting and prayer to dig into the Word of God. Get to study the Word of God. Pick up the Bible. Make it a commitment that this year I want to read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Just to read. Spend time studying the Word. Every service, make sure you are available to hear the Word of God. Because I know that it's very, very important for us to be blessed, I've been inspired to do something very, very important beginning from tomorrow night. So please do everything you can not to miss the service. Monday night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night, I'm going to be taking us on what I call the School of Money Academy. Because I know that majority of your prayer points is money matter. And you need knowledge. So that we can add knowledge to the prayer and then we'll be able to serve. Because you can't prosper by praying. In order for you to prosper, you need to understand the covenant principles for wealth creation. You need to understand the financial principle for wealth creation, and then you pray to get understanding, you pray for grace to be able to do what needs to be done, and then you pray for favor to produce results. So don't miss the service tomorrow night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night. I have asked that in preparation for that service, a form will be given to you this morning. So if you don't already have the form, before you leave, make sure you get a copy of this form and then fill it today. It's yours. You are not submitting it. Fill it, rate yourself, and bring it tomorrow night so that tomorrow night we'll begin the journey. I've also prepared a manual, the School of Money Workbook. It's the manual that we're going to be using for the next 3 nights to really go on a journey so that you can be equipped with what it takes to become wealthy, because I believe that God wants to raise kingdom millionaires for the end time harvest in the world that we live in today. Apart from that, we have a lot of materials. The School of Money book is still available. It teaches you how to make, manage, and multiply your money and serves as a blueprint for entrepreneurs. The Pathway to Wealth book is also there. These are books that has both CD in there. The School of Money has a CD, has a DVD. And then we have a lot of audio programs. So what we have done is we have a wristband. In this wristband, you have the School of Money book, you have the Pathway to Wealth book, and 26 audio program in there, and it will be a blessing to you. While being around, decided to help a lot of pastors and ministers, so I'm also having a school of ministry for pastors in the morning. Tomorrow, we're using an hotel called Paloma Hotel somewhere in Saco. It's absolutely free. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So if you know any pastor, your brother is a pastor, your friend, your neighbor, anybody you know that is a pastor in ministry, we're going to be looking at church planting and church growth in the 21st century. Ministry in the 21st century is not what it used to be. And a lot of pastors are sincere, but they are sincerely wrong. And they are laboring and wondering why things are not working. The ministry and the calling is the same, but the principles have changed. The message does not change, but the methodologies change from time to time. And we need to be updated so that we'll be able to do that. So if you know anybody, let them be there tomorrow. It's 9 a.m. We're going to be looking at fundamentals of church planting, winning at pioneering, contemporary approach to ministry, evangelism, and organization, membership attraction and retention strategy, strategic evangelism that work, building systems and structures for growth, leading a growing church, how to grow a mega church in the 21st century, breaking growth barriers. All this will be done Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday for those that can afford to do that. And as you come and spread the word around among pastors and church leaders, I pray that God will bless you in Jesus' name. Let's open our Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. And we're going to read together from verse 1 to 7. And we're going to read from the King James Version, and also from the Message translation. And you can go read other translations on your own just to get more clarity. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, beginning from verse 1 to 7. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth. Therefore let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow, than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also diverse vanities, but fear thou God. Now let's look at the same portion of scripture from the Message translation. It says, watch your step when you enter God's house. enter to learn. That's far better than mindlessly offering a sacrifice, doing more harm than good. Next verse. Don't shoot off your mouth or speak before you think. Don't be too quick to tell God what you think he wants to hear. God is in charge, not you. The less you speak, the better. Overwork makes for restless sleep. Overtalk shows you up as a fool. When you tell God you will do something, do it now. God takes no pleasure in foolish gabble. Vow it, then do it. It's far better not to vow in the first place than to vow and not pay up. Don't let your mouth make a total sinner of you. When called to account, you won't get by with, "Oh, sorry, I didn't mean it." Why risk provoking God to angry retaliation? But against all illusion and fantasy and empty talk, there is always this rock foundation: fear God. Father, we thank you because you are God and beside you there is no other God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not a jot of your word will go unfulfilled. Lord, we ask in the name that is above every name that you will open our eyes to see. You open our ears to hear. You open our hearts to gain understanding. Speak to us by your spirit and help us to be better than the way we came. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and the saints of God shout a big amen. This service, I want to talk to us about honoring your vows to God. Honoring your vows to God. I believe very strongly that one of the things that we need to reposition ourselves with and in these last days is in the place of honor. God hates dishonor. And there's so much dishonor going on in our world today. A lot of believers have become stricken with the virus of dishonor. I need to understand that dishonor is one of the end time signs and the end time virus that God had warned us of, even in scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning from verse 1, the Bible is quick to let us know that in the last days, perilous time will come. As a matter of fact, another translation says, in the last days, it will be very difficult to be a Christian. Why? Because men will become lovers of themselves, selfish, unthankful, unholy, covenant breakers, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. So in the last days, one of the virus of the end time is the virus of dishonor. A lot of people have come before the altar of God to make a vow with their wife, to make a vow with their husband, and yet they have walked away from the altar and broken that vow. There are many men caught in the bed of adultery, many women caught in the bed of adultery, many business partners that have made a covenant, signed contract, that have become truth breakers and covenant breakers and agreement breakers. So we live in a world where there's so much dishonor, but God hates dishonor, and God is calling us as his church to come back into the place where we begin to walk in honor. Next week, we're going to be having our first fruit service. We are in that time of the year where what you do will affect the rest of the year. Where the foundation you lay now will determine what the remaining part of the year will be. Romans 11 and 16 says, if the first fruit is holy, so are the branches. If the root is holy, so are the branches. So you find out that what you do at the beginning of the year matters. For if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? As a believer, you need to understand that giving is a non-negotiable part of this kingdom that we are part of. In this kingdom that we live in, giving is living. You breathe in and you breathe out because that is the way this world has been programmed. You cannot continue to breathe in without breathing out, saying that I just love to breathe in, I don't love to breathe out. You will die. Why? Because receiving without giving is contrary to the law of nature and the law of the kingdom. That's why the Bible says it is more blessed to give than to receive. So giving is a non-negotiable part of the kingdom. And when you are a student of the Bible, you will realize that in the Word of God, there are different kinds of giving, different dimensions of covenant expectations of us from God. Everyone sitting down here right now, when you get money from whatever means, even though that money comes into your life from one source, that money goes out of your life in multiple sources. So for instance, you work and you earn a salary. You work or you do business and you get a profit. So the salary came from your business. The profit came from your business and your labor. But the fact that the salary or profit came once through one channel does not mean that's the only places we go to. From that salary, if you are a tenant, you pay rent. If you don't have a car, you pay for transportation. If you have a car, you fuel the car. If you have a phone, you pay for phone. If you eat, you pay for food. If you have to pay school. Now, the fact that you have paid for house rent doesn't mean you will not pay for car. The fact that you have fueled your car doesn't mean you will not pay for food. You can't get to a restaurant and finish eating and say, you know what, there's no need to, you know, I've already bought fuel, so I can't pay you. Now, you are willing and able and confident spending your money in different dimensions, yet when you come to church, you say, no, I've given tithe, I can't give first fruit. I've already given offering, I can't give mission seed. No. Listen and listen well. Every seed you sow opens up to a window. Are you ready for this? What your rent can do, your phone bill cannot do. What your phone bill can do, your school fees cannot do. So if you pay rent and you don't have money to fuel your car, no matter your fasting, no matter your prayer, you will have a roof over your head, but you will not be able to move with transport. Why? Because you have not paid for that one. If you have your house rent paid for, you have fueled your car, but you can't pay school fees, you are going to have a roof over your head. You are going to have a transportation to move around, but you are not going to have a school to go to because you will not be accepted. So when you come into the kingdom, giving is a non-negotiable part of the kingdom, except you don't want to work in the kingdom. And that you have done one does not mean you should not do the other, because what they attract is different. What you get by tithing, you cannot get by sacrifice. What you get by first fruit, you can't get by offering. What comes by tithing can only come by tithing. I want to give you an assignment. Read your Bible. It says, when you bring your tithe into the storehouse, one of the unique blessings of the tithe that does not come through other means is rebuking the devourer. Read your Bible. I've seen many people do fasting and prayer against devourer, and God couldn't answer. Because he did not say pray against the devourer. He says, you obey me in tithe, I will rebuke the devourer. You don't have the power to rebuke the devourer. Only God does. Rebuking the devourer on your behalf is what God says he will do based on your obedience of what he has told you to do. Hello, somebody. So you need to come into a place where we understand honor. So we're in that time now. God says, I should tell you, it's time to honor me with your vows. One of the most powerful weapons, because if you talk about giving the Bible, we have tithe, we have first fruits, we have honoring your parents. I hope you know. Read your Bible. The Bible says, honor your father and your mother. That's the first commandment with a promise. And what did he say? So that your days will be long. Read your Bible very well. If you want to live long, are you ready? It's not by prayer. Oh Lord, I want to live long. No. There are things you must do to live long. One of the things you do to live long is to honor your father and mother. Read your Bible. He did not say honor your father and mother if they are born again. He did not say honor your father and mother if they are good to you. He said honor your father. So even if your father is a devil, you honor him. Why are you honoring him? You are not honoring him because of what he is doing now. You are not honoring him because of what he's going to do for you. You are honoring him because he was the vessel that God used to produce you. So, that he sowed the seed that brought you forth is what you are going to honor him for till you die. If he gives birth to you and is a sperm donor, and after donating the sperm, he became a useless man, you must continue to honor him for that one sperm that he donated till he died. Read your Bible. Because we lack understanding. Why do we have marital problems? He said, husband, love your wife. Simple. Wife, submit to your own husband. Read it very well. Oh. Husband, love your wife. But when he was talking to the woman, he said, wife, submit to your own husband. You know why he put on? Every woman knows how to submit to other people's husband. But to submit to their own, trouble. I'm a pastor. I see a lot of women, oh, bless you, sir. Oh, so full. You are blessed, sir. They can't talk to their husband like that, too. But me, small boy, I didn't pay dowry. I'm not paying their rent. I'm not paying their children's school fees. But because I'm a pastor, bless you, sir. They are honoring me. If women can give 10% of the honor they give to their pastor, to their husband, their marriage will be better. And that's why many men don't go to church. Because they see how that you respect the pastor more than you respect them. They will tell you something, you will argue. The pastor will tell you, you will believe. So they say, hey, since he's the one you want to listen to, follow him. Hello, somebody. He says, husband, love your wife. He said, wife, submit to your own husband. But now look at it. When men go to read that part, do you know what they go to read? Wife, submit. When women go there, do you know what they go to read? Husband, love. Everybody goes there to find out what somebody else should be doing, instead of finding out what they should do and do what they should do. But have you noticed? He said, husband, love your wife. He did not say love your wife if your wife is submissive. He didn't say love your wife if she's a good wife. Whether she's a wife or a knife, you must love her. Why? Because you chose her. He did not say, wife, submit to your husband if he loves you. No. Submit to your own husband. It is not a conditional instruction. It's an instruction of you play your part, whether the other person plays their part or not. And don't forget, we are looking at honor. Honoring your vows to God. So many of us, we have missed it. Because we have made vows to God. We have refused to live up to our vows. And we get into trouble. So there are all kinds of seed. First fruit is a seed to sow to God. To worship God. Tithe is there. Honoring your father and your mother is there. Honoring your prophets is there. Giving to the less privileged. Strangers, orphans, widows is there. Seed of faith is there, sacrifice, all kinds. So you cannot say that because you have paid tithe, that you can't honor your father and mother. You cannot say that because you have given to a prophet, that you cannot pay tithe. Every window of obedience opens up to a window of harvest. You cannot get a visa to America and end up in London. There is no entrance. So your visa to America does not give you access to London except you are transiting. And your journey will end at the airport. Because you are a transit passenger. Are you going to say that? So if we have this understanding, so let's look at our text. One of the very powerful weapons is the weapon of a vow. When you make a vow, God is obligated to arise and to move. But what has happened is that many people in the church today have made all kinds of vows and they have not been able to live up to their own expectation. And that's what God is challenging me to talk to you about today. Now listen, it's a 4-part series, but my focus today will be on the vow of service that you made to God at salvation. When you got born again, everybody made a vow when they got born again. And what was the vow? Lord, I will serve you with my life. And you saw that song, everything that I have, I surrender to you. I release you. That's a vow that every one of us have made. that God, my life is your own. Oh, take my whole life and give me Jesus. Oh, Lord, I will serve you with my life. Many of you have made so many vows. Question, have you lived up to your vow? Many of us are victims of unredeemed vows. We are victims of vows we have made to God that we have broken, that has closed the door. No, if you go back to our text, he said, don't make a vow that you cannot pay. He said, why will God curse your blessing? He said, why will you allow God to be provoked to begin to curse what is supposed to be blessed? So, sit down and think. What were the vows you made? When I started out as a pastor, one of the greatest mistakes I made as a young pastor is to think that everybody in church is a Christian. I thought everybody is born again. I thought everybody that comes to church is honest. I thought that everybody in church will keep to their word. I didn't know that devils come to church. I didn't know that church is filled with all kinds of strange people until I began to mature, because the Bible says he's put the net in the water and he caught all manner of fishes. So there are all manner of people in church. So man of God, you know what I will do? We'll raise an offering. I will tell people you want to give, and then people will make pledges foolishly based on my business understanding. I say, oh, they have made pledge. They are mature people. They are making a vow to God, so they will pay. So based on pledge, I will commission work. I will call contractor. I say, money is coming. So how much is that? Okay, 300,000. Okay, so take 50. Money is coming. I commission work based on pledge, and pledge refused to come. And I became a debtor pastor all over the area. At the point, they say, okay, we Calvary. Ah, that pastor, he doesn't pay. Oh. If he gives you a job, he's a liar. He won't pay. No, it almost messed up my integrity until I got to a point where I realized that until I see the money in the account, people making vows does not mean that they will pay. Because there are people that make vows out of emotion. There are people that make vows out of hypocrisy. There are people that make vows and they have short attention span. They don't have a personal discipline to be able to stay true to their commitment. Once they get out of the gate, they have forgotten that they made a vow. Not that they don't want to pay, they have forgotten. Because their mindset is so short. It's like 60 seconds video on social media. It's a Twitter brain, 160 characters. Anything apart from that, what did you say? They have forgotten. Hello? So listen to the people of God. What vows have you made to God that you have not redeemed? Every year, Lord, this year, 2019, I will serve you. Whatever you say, I will do. Now, whatever you say, I will do. Have you prepared your first fruit now? How many souls have you won? Are you even joining us in this fasting now? Whatever you say, I will do. But you have already started disobeying from January. We have not even entered February. And you have made all kinds of, what are the, so honor God with the vows that you have made to him. Because when you look all through the scripture, you will find out that when people make vows and don't live up to their vows, they open up the door for all kinds of things to happen to them. And I'm going to show you just one example. And then we'll wrap it up from there, just to challenge you. Everybody knows the story of a man by the name of Jonah. But let me tell you the story of Jonah. And that's an example I'm going to give you. Maybe one more. Maybe I'll give you two. But let me give you Jonah. In case I don't give you the second one, it's Jephthah. Judges 11. But let me just give you Jonah. Jonah, a whole book was written about him. But many people don't understand the mystery of that young man called Jonah. In Jonah chapter 1, God came to him and said, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh and go and become my mouthpiece. And the Bible says, Jonah said, I'm not going. Instead of going to Nineveh, I will go to Tarshish. When you read your Bible in Jonah chapter 1, you will see three phrases. And Jonah went down. And Jonah went down. And Jonah went down. Jonah went down three levels. From the most holy place to the holy place to the outer courts. He was on his way out of the kingdom. Why? Because he kept going down in trying to run away from God. And you know what happened? He got into a boat and God steered up waves. Why? Because Jonah was a man that had a vow upon his life that needed to be redeemed. And I'm going to prove that to you and we'll close.
All the problem of Jonah was based on a vow. But many people don't know that. We're going to see it today. All his problem was a vow problem. And Jonah went to Tarshish. He took money from his pocket and paid. Because when you go on the journey that God didn't send you, you will pay by yourself. God will not pay for a trip he did not commission. He paid and he entered. And the Bible says he went down into the bottom of the boat. When trouble started, they started casting lot and pray. Why? We have been traveling. We don't have this kind of problem. Because when you carry Jonah in your boat, the problem that does not belong to you will come. Because Jonah comes with their own problem to mess up your peaceful journey. Many of you employ Jonah staff. Your company start having problem. You bring Jonah house help into your house. Your marriage start having problem. Because Jonah goes with a spirit of destruction and calamity. So they carry Jonah. When they casted lots, the lots fell on Jonah. They now went to Jonah and they asked him a question. Where are you from? Where are you going to? Who is your God? And when they asked him all the question, he said, look, don't bother. I'm your problem. I'm running away from God. But listen, before they got to that point, the Bible says, when he told them, he said, I'm the one that is the problem. He said, what do we do? He said, carry me and throw me inside the water. Jonah told them, he said, throw me inside the water. And they said, how can we do that? Read your Bible. The Bible says, they now remove all their own property that they use their money to buy. Their cargo in their container, they started throwing it into the water instead of throwing Jonah. They were throwing their property away, thinking that they can lighten the load. And the Bible said they rowed harder. You can't help Jonah. Listen to me. I have a series on intercession. And I have a message called The Hazards of Intercession. There are people you don't pray for. You hand them over to God. Hello? Jonah, you don't pray for Jonah. Because Jonah is not facing a satanic attack. Jonah is going through a spiritual process. So there are people, the problem in their life is not a devil, it's God. And when God is your problem, no deliverance minister can deliver you. Because everybody can pray, but only God can answer prayer. And if the person that will answer the prayer is the cause of the problem, your problem is forever. So Jonah was there. When they realized that there was no way out, they carried him and threw him into the water. And the Bible says, the wind ceased. There was peace. Now listen. And Jonah was swallowed by a whale. Now listen. I'm going to take you back. And then I'll bring you back to the end. Are you ready? Who is Jonah? In 2 Kings chapter 4, a woman cried out to a prophet and said, my husband is dead. The creditor has come to take my two children away. The prophet delivered the woman through the pot of oil story. Immediately after that, we pick up in verse 8-9 with another story of how the prophet was going to a village and they said that he was a holy man of God. And a woman prepared a special room for him and he started going to that room. And the servant of the prophet came and said, the man said, what do we do for this? He said, have you not noticed that there's no child here? And the man of God called the woman and said, by this time next year, you will have a child. The woman said, no, I didn't bless you so that you can give me a child. I have connection. Don't worry. Just leave me the way. He said, no, by this time next year, you have a child. That woman got pregnant and had a child because the man of God said so. Continue reading. That child that came through a miracle, that child was in the field with his father. They were walking and the child said, my head, my head. My head, my head. The father, read your Bible very well. The father told the servants, this boy is trouble. I don't know what the mother and the prophet arranged that brought this boy. Carry the boy back to the mother. Read your Bible very well. 2 Kings 4. Say, take the boy back to the mother. They took the boy to the mother. The mother carried the boy to the bedroom that she has prepared for the prophet. If you don't take care of your prophet, the day you need him, he will not be there. It was the same room that she prepared for the prophet that became a point of contact for the prophetic intervention. She put the baby on the bed and ran to the prophet because by that time the child has died. Read your Bible very well. So she put the dead child on the bed. She ran to the prophet and said, "Prophet, prophet, prophet, prophet." And the prophet said, "Is it well with you?" She said, three questions. She said, "It is well." "Is it well with your husband?" She said, "It is well." "Is it well with your son?" She said, "It is well." Why? Because she knew, "I didn't ask you for a child. You said I will have a child, and I have. Now that the child is dead, I have to come back to the source. You must settle yourself again." So he said, "It is well, because I know that now that I have brought it to you, it will be well." Hello? The prophet now sent a boy called Gehazi. He said, "Take this rod, go to the boy and pray for the boy." That somebody is working with the pastor does not mean they carry the spirit of the pastor. They are Gehazis in ministry, close to the place of power, yet they are powerless. So Gehazi went to pray for the child, and the child died a second death. When Gehazi, because listen to me, if you don't carry my spirit, you can't flow in my power. The measure of value and honor determines the flow of virtue. A woman touched the garment of Jesus and she was made whole. Somebody washed the clothes and remained the same. Somebody ironed it, nothing changed in their life. Why? Because it is the honor and the value you have that determines the anointing that comes your way. If you see me as an ordinary person, you get ordinary anointing. If you see me as a prophet, you get a prophetic anointing. When Gehazi got back, he said, "The child is dead, though, nothing to do, second death." The prophet said, "No problem." The Bible said the prophet went there by himself, lied down on the child, and began to breathe the breath of God into that child. That child came back to life. Listen and listen well. That child is Jonah. Are you seeing the connection now? So Jonah, you see, when you read your Bible, the Bible says there is no other example that will be given to you except the example of Jonah. Listen, that child was Jonah. So Jonah has died before. Jonah was born as a result of prophetic declaration. And the woman made a vow that this child will serve God. And whatever God calls him to do, he will do. When God called him, he disobeyed. Everything went into a wire. Because he was walking contrary to a vow that was on his head. So Jonah found himself in the belly of the fish. How did Jonah come out? Jonah chapter 2. Let's close. Let's close. How did Jonah come out? Jonah, how did he come out? Jonah chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Are you ready? What did he say? "But I will sacrifice unto thee with what? With the voice of thanksgiving." What did he say I will do? "I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." Listen, this is the prayer that Jonah prayed in the belly of the whale. What was the prayer? "Lord, I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving." That vow that I didn't pay, I know that's the problem. I'm going to pay my vow. I will serve you. What my mother said, the one that me too have said, all the vows I've made to serve you, I'm going to do it. Look at the next verse. Immediately he said he's going to redeem his vow. "And the Lord spoke unto the fish, and it vomited Jonah upon the dry land." Look at the mystery. If you go to chapter 3, when Jonah was put inside the water, are you ready for this? The ship was in the midst of the sea, and Jonah was swallowed. And God gave the fish a direct instruction. "I'm sending you as a private jet of grace, to carry this man back to the place of obedience." So fish, face Nineveh. Before you arrive in Nineveh, I will release grace. He will repent. He will get it right. He will know where he has missed it. By the time Jonah discovered that it's about vow, and said, "Lord, I will redeem my vow," God said, "Vomit him." If you read the next chapter, Jonah was vomited at Nineveh. So it means that when the fish swallowed him, even before he discovered the problem, grace made the way. The fish was already on the way to the place of obedience. Because God loves you so much that he sends his servant like me to give you a message to take that fish and that problem back to the place of obedience. If you can listen and align, you'll be healed. Many of you, you have suffered and you are still suffering. You know why? You are in the belly of the fish. Your marriage is in the belly of the fish. Your business is in the belly of the fish. Your ministry is in the belly of the fish. And the only way out is for you to say, Lord, I'm coming back to the place of obedience. I'm coming back to the place to redeem what I vowed. And you will see God dropping you. You say, oh, show me another scripture. I close with this, Psalm 50. In Psalm 50, verses 14 or 15 or the other about, you see the same thing. He said, offer unto God. What do you say? Thanksgiving. And what? And pay thy vows unto the Most High. Same thing that Jonah said. Thanksgiving and vow. Look at the next verse. Verse 15. And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and thou shalt glorify me. Jonah offered thanksgiving. Jonah made a commitment to redeem his vow, and God brought him out. He said, if you do the same, no matter the trouble, when you fast and pray and call me, it is when your vow is in place that I can now answer you. Listen and listen well. We have another opportunity this year to honor God with our first fruits, with our tithes, with our offerings, and with our commitment. It is my prayer that this year you will not miss God. Everyone under the sound of my voice, whatever has swallowed your glory and swallowed your destiny, as you hear the voice of God today and make an adjustment to honor God with your vows and your commitment, I see God bringing you to a place of breakthrough, bringing you to a place of answer prayer, so that what has missed you will find you, and you will arrive at your promised land the same way Jonah was brought back to Nineveh. Every head bowed in Jesus' name. Every head bowed in Jesus' name. I wanted to talk to God. Lord, have mercy upon me. I'm coming back to the hand of worship. And it's all about you. It's all about you. When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come. Whatever you have, I want you to just bow down your heads and begin to talk to God. Lord, bring me back to the place of honor. Lord, bring me back to the place of honor. Bring me back to the place of honor. Longing just open your mouth and begin to pray. Lord, grace, Lord. Something that's grace, Lord, grace. Grace to walk in obedience. Grace to align with your will and align with your way and align with your purpose. It's not by power, it's not by might. Open your mouth and pray for grace. We are in that season again when we are supposed to bring our first fruit in honor of God. Lord, I don't want to miss you again this year. I want to begin and align myself in the place of complete and total obedience. Lord, I receive grace. Through the way things are, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Heart of Lord, we're coming back to the place of obedience. We're coming back to the place of total surrender. We're coming back, Lord. We're tired of doing it our own way. Sorry, Lord, for the things that I made. God, when it's all about you, it's all about Jesus. I want to pray for you right now. I didn't do this in the first service because it was specifically instructed to be done in this second service. If you're under the sound of my voice, I'm not going to be calling you out, but we need to make a commitment. You have heard the word, and like Jonah, you can know. You are, the Spirit of God was already telling you, that vow. Vow is not only about money. Some of you, you made a vow that you're going to be praying 12 midnight to 1 every week for souls. You've never done it. You did it twice, you stopped. Some of you have made vow that every week you will win one soul. You go and share handbills. You've never done it. Some of you ran away from your former church because of the vow you made. And when they were calling you to come and redeem, you ran away and relocated, thinking that changing church is changing vow. And then the vow is still there waiting, and you have relocated now. You are in another church. You say, Pastor, I can agree with you that I have vows that I have not redeemed. But this year, I want God to vomit me and release me. Whatever vow I've made, I'm making a commitment today that I will honor my vow. Wherever you are, rise up on your feet. I just want to pray with you. And we'll close. Rise up. You have made vows that you have not redeemed. Just stand up. We want to pray. Say, God, I want to receive grace. I want to redeem that vow this year. I want to go back to the place of obedience so that you can undo whatever has been done. Rise up on your feet wherever you are. You are not coming out. Rise up on your feet. Now talk to God by yourself. And I'm going to agree with you. Talk to God. You know the vow. Tell him no. Now, Lord, I'm ready. Lord, have mercy upon me. Lord, give me grace. Help me to redeem that vow. Help me to commit to that. Help me to do this. Begin to pray. Because it's not by power, it's not by might. The Bible says the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Begin to pray for grace to help the weakness of your flesh. Every weakness of the flesh will be replaced by the strength of the spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, hear the voice of your children. Lord, hear the voice of the saints. Lord, let your mercy prevail. Let your grace be released. Lord, I pray for everyone standing right now in the place of commitment to you. Whatever needs to be done, empower them to do it. Whatever needs to be released, let it flow in their direction. Whatever has limited and hindered and held them down, let that power break by this commitment that they make. And let them be released into a place of answered prayer, the place of breakthrough, and a place of manifestation of that which you have already declared concerning them. Thank you, awesome God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And the saints of God shout a big amen. God bless you. Please be seated. Before you leave, give me Revelation 22 verse 2. Before you leave, make sure you get the form. Make sure you get it from the ushers. Fill it up. And then you bring it tomorrow. We're going on 3 days. School of Money Academy. Give me Revelation 22 verse 2, please. School of Money Academy. We're going on 3 days. Studying. There's a manual. Go and get the manual. If you can't get it today, come tomorrow. Prepare to get the manual. Let's learn. So that as we are praying and releasing the super on the natural. So that things can happen. Revelation 22 verse 2 talks about the tree. Which bear 12 manner of fruits and yielded a fruit every month. One tree. But every month, that tree produces all kinds of fruits. So January, it brings orange. February, pawpaw. March, pineapple. April, apple. Just one tree, but different testimonies, different results. It is my belief that God has the ability to give to you different kinds of blessings in different dimensions of your life. As a matter of fact, the Bible says he daily loads us with benefits. I'm going to be praying with you in the next 3 days because I believe that God has called me to raise kingdom millionaires. God has called me, one of the call of God upon my life is to teach people how to create wealth. Show them the way. And I'm going to be praying with you for as many of you that can afford to do that. Tomorrow night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night. I want as many of you that can to go back home, think about it, pray about it, talk to your wife, talk to your husband, talk to your board of trustees, and get ready. And come tomorrow or Tuesday or Wednesday with a seed of 222 Ghana cedis. As a point of contact that for the next 12 months, everything we're going to be sharing, God will cause to be having testimonies and results in different areas in the next 12 months. And I'm going to be asking you to do that. I'm going to be praying for you tomorrow, praying for you on Tuesday, and praying for you on Wednesday. I'm so confident that if we all play our part, by the end of these 40 days, it will not just be a religious exercise, but we'll be truly equipped and empowered to experience the best of heaven. Praise the name of Jesus. Now let's bring out our tithes and offering as we close the service. Bring out your